your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to speak this morning. We're carrying on with a bit of a theme on worship, just some facets of it. 2 weeks ago, I started, and if you remember illustrations better than sermons, you remember the girl with no name story and the mirror in the jungle. And I'm not everything I should be, but I'm not that. And if you didn't get that, go get the, I want to say the tape, but that's from the 1960s. You can listen online. And last week, Jordan talked about the cost of worship, worship cost. And if I just give one line, that will probably bring back some thoughts to you, is that we will give to God, I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. And just preparing our offering, preparing our life, and what they did in the Old Testament to bring an offering, they had to grow it, the sheep, the lamb, the produce, it took effort, it took time, it took preparation, that message that worship costs. And so this morning, my message is worship is our life. We worship with and through and in our life. And I want to talk to you out of Hebrews, and we'll read the verse together. You can put it up. Hebrews 12, verse 28 to 29. Therefore, because of all the stuff he's just talked about, Christ's victory and what Christ has done in the chapter, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And I want to speak this morning about acceptable worship. If worship is our life, which it is, worship, you know, we're talking about aspects of it, what it means, and you can look at it from all kinds of angles. But if our lives are worship, if everything about us is worship, and we want to bring a worship, bring a life, we want to bring one that's acceptable to God. We want to come the way God wants us to come. Does that sound reasonable? We want to worship Him the way God demands, the way God expects, the way God deserves to be worshipped. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. And I want to just look at some angles of that. First of all, just quickly, in that verse, if you go to the next slide, I hope it's on there. Yeah, being grateful. Just go through them quick. You can just stay there. Grateful. It's from I always want to start there when we talk about worship, because all of a sudden we can get really heavy and we can get very dutiful and we can become legalistic and harsh. And that's not the point. The point is, because we've receiving this unshakable kingdom, let's, with grateful hearts, from a place of gratitude, of thanksgiving, and our sanctification is connected to our gratitude. Our growing up in God, our being set apart for God is directly proportional, is our gratitude to Him. Amen? And I don't want to preach that message again. So we live in a place of gratitude. Christians should be the most joy-filled, thankful people on the planet. Amen? Amen. Tell your face if you believe that. Tell your neighbor you believe that. I believe it. Then he said, from a grateful heart, offer. And Jordan preached on what it means to offer. There's a cost, there's a commitment, there's love involved, there's sacrifice. We do something with that grateful heart. Let us bring acceptable worship, and that's going to be my subject this morning, with awe and reverence, full of fear, awfulness of God. Not a fear of, but a respect for, a reverence for God. What we do matters to God. How we live matters to God. How we worship matters to God. Because He is a consuming fire. And He's referring back to the Old Testament. He's referring back to those examples, even that Jordan talked about, of what it costs to come and bring God an acceptable offering. So before I get to the acceptable, there's always the unacceptable, and it helps us to understand what we're talking about. What is an unacceptable worship? Well, I put a few examples up there, and there are many, many, many in the Bible, and I don't want to spend our morning on it, but Cain, he offered an unacceptable offering. His heart wasn't right. In Matthew 15, Jesus challenges the people. He says, "These people flatter me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." In Luke, he says, "Why do you say, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" It's like opposites. You can't say something and live one way. You can't, you know, your life must match up with what you are saying you worship and what you reverence. First Chronicles, I remember it was Kerry a couple of years ago preaching on this subject, but Uzzah touched the ark. You remember they were bringing the ark back from the Philistines and they had it on an ox cart and it shook and he reached out his hand. And the Bible says that the fire, the anger of God was kindled against him. And the point was they were bringing the sacrifice, they were bringing the ark on a cart, and it was supposed to be carried by the priests. And they were bringing an unacceptable offering. It was God's wrath. It's serious. Was kindled against them. And Isaiah 58 says God did not accept their fasting. He says, I don't accept it because you pray for the wrong things. You're praying for yourself. You treat your workers like garbage. You know, your life matters when it comes to prayer. I could go on. We could talk about husbands and wives' prayers being affected because they do not come together as one, as though they've separated and not had intimacy because of prayer and fasting. They don't come back together again. And I always tell my wife, we want our prayers answered. So be careful. To come back together nicely. Hebrews chapter 13. What's an acceptable offering? What's an acceptable offering? If you think of offering as something we bring, as a sacrifice, as our lives, as who we are, how can we bring an offering that pleases God? And Jordan laid it out last week, just some of the things, and I don't want to repeat his message, but here's what Hebrews talks about as far as it relates to our life, our personal living, doing, acting of our life. Because here's what I feel is when we talk about our freedom in God, we talk about the grace of God, we talk about Christ has loves us, the Father loves us, all of those things, and it's absolutely true. People can take that and turn it into a license. And that's what Paul is writing about and what he's challenging them with, the writer of Hebrews. That's what he's been challenging them with. And we'll look at some in Romans, is to not take that liberty as a license, but to take it from a thankful, grateful heart to come now and offer this amazing, acceptable life offering to God that pleases him, that he accepts and he loves. So in Hebrews chapter 13, if you just thumb through it in your Bible, we don't need to go there. We don't need to read it all, I mean, but you can go through it. I just listed some of the very things. It says at the very next verse, love one another, show hospitality, remember the prisoners. He says marriage must be held in honor by all, biblical marriage. Do not love money, be content. Acceptable worship is simply put like this. It's God's requirement. Acceptable worship is what God asks for. So if we're talking about a lifestyle of worship, we're talking about a way of living, it has to be the way and the lifestyle that pleases God, according to his word, according to what we see in that mirror that reflects back to us and shows us. We have to live a life that's godly, that's holy. The only thing that is holy is in this world is the things that are set apart for God. It's the only things that make something holy. People, buildings, whatever, they have no holiness other than they are set apart to God, and what is of God and what is God's is holy. So we are his holy people. We belong to him. We live a life of holiness. We live a life that's godly. We live a life that pleases God. Amen? It's simple. As we walk this life out in a way that is acceptable to him, it's a holy life because it's his life. It's his desire working in us and through us. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 15 to 16, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledges his name. I underline that on purpose. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, and such sacrifices are pleasing to God. They're very practical sacrifices. But I want to just pick up that acknowledge his name. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about, you know, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before the Father. Luke 12, verse 8. Everyone who lives in a way that confesses or shows forth God, acknowledges God, Jesus will acknowledge him. Revelation chapter 7, verse 8, it says, you have that verse? Yeah. The bride made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. In this line, for the fine linen is a righteous decree, righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Revelation 8 and 9, 19 verse 8 and 9. The fine linen, the white clothing, you know, we talk about it quite a bit, put on those fine linens. And it does refer to what Christ has done for us. It's His life in us. Without that, there is no fine linen. Without that, there is no white clothing. But in this verse, standing before God at the marriage supper of the Lamb, those standing there, their white robes are the deeds that they have done. They are rewarded for their good works. They are rewarded for the life that they've lived. And every one of these verses that I've been quoting talks about then do some good things. Help people. Be kind. Get your marriage. Marriage must be honored by all. It's not something to just play around with. It's to be honored. All these verses talk about a lifestyle of worship that's acceptable to God. And we need to do it. We need to command, challenge, encourage one another. We need to live it out before our kids and before our family. It's not just, oh, God loves everybody and we all get to heaven. God's favor is not fair. Rewards are not equally dispersed. There are those who are rewarded and those whose works are just burnt up. It was wood, hay, and stubble. It didn't pass the test of God. It's not my test or the church's test. It's God Himself. It's Him who we live this life out and want to please in our life. 1 Thessalonians says it in 4 verse 3 to 8. I'll read a couple of verses. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's pretty straightforward. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of lust like the Gentiles. He's talking to the church, by the way, when he's saying these things. Not like those guys who don't know God. That no one transgresses and wrongs his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger. He comes back to this. He's a consuming fire. God is no one to trifle with. He's not someone to just be buddy buddies with. We are His sons. We are His friends as we mature and walk with Him. But He is God. And He demands. He puts righteous demands on us. He puts expectations on us who say we belong to Him and we are the children of God. And there is reward and there is white robes to be gained and there is a life that worships God and that He rewards and blesses. For God has not called us. No, I want to go back. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. I just want, like, I was reading these verses and I'm thinking, okay, what's harsh and what's kind and what do you say? And what Paul says, I solemnly warn. He's been warning. Read, if you read these scriptures with that attitude of, okay, God, what's acceptable to you? What pleases you? What didn't please you? What's the commands of God? If you say you love me, you obey my commands. What are those commands? What are those things that God's wanting? And it seems like every verse is just coming up. Live a holy life. Be kind. Be good. Do nice things, serve, live. Like there's lots explained what to do. You don't have to kind of wonder, well, that's kind of vague, the theology. No, it's like right in your face. Serve me, love me, live a life that pleases me. And it's we're able to do it, and He demands it from us because He gives us the power and the ability to do it. See, where we get grace wrong is when we only understand it as the unmerited favor of God, which it is. But it's the power of God, the divine power of God as well, to change, to live the life that God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not, oh, I'm just, you know, I am what I am, a servant of God. I am what I am, Paul says, someone who is able to live this life. And he says, I'm warning you. So I was reading it and I'm thinking in my bed this morning, what would Paul look like preaching this? I've solemnly warned you. Many times. Stop this. And he's not talking about the guys out there. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about, stop this. Love one another. Do good. Stop your immorality. Honor marriage. He just he just nails these things. He's not a shy guy when he's writing. He's not trying to be politically correct. He's like, there's an acceptable worship, and because of what God has given us, we receive an unshakable kingdom. That's a gift. We receive that. But then he says, let us offer, let us bring acceptable. Let's do it with reverence and let us. There's the stuff that we do to honor God. Man, everybody's quiet in here today. I thought you'd be saying, oh, that's fantastic. I need that. Preach that. God's looking at our lives. And I'm going to end up this sermon this morning with the question, what is the areas of life that God is putting his finger on in your life that he's asking for worship in? What is it that God wants to challenge you to change in order to worship in acceptable way to him, around attitude, around your spirit, around your finance, around your marriage, around your life, around your immorality, around your thought life, around your what? What area is God challenging you on in the area of being a worshipful life, a life that pleases him? That when you wake up in the morning, you don't have to regret. You don't have to get through 7 hard things to get to the place where you can just have a nice personal relationship with God for the day. What are the things that he's putting his finger on in my life and in your life? And I just want to conclude by saying, lifestyle does matter to God. How you live matters to God. We can expect more from one another. We can challenge one another. We can rebuke one another. We can love one another in a way that expects much from one another. To live a life, to live with an attitude. Worship is what we do, it's who we are, and it's an attitude of thankfulness. It's an attitude that acknowledges God, and I didn't spend much time on that verse, and you can thank me for it, but acknowledging him in everything we do. We acknowledge him. We acknowledge him. We make much of him. Other translations say we confess him in what I'm saying and how I'm living my life, how I'm acting. I'm confessing God. I'm showing him. I'm acknowledging him. When I make a decision around finance, when I make a decision in my life, when I speak to my wife, when I do my job, whatever, I am acknowledging God. One of my favorite verses my whole life has always been, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I'm saying, God, help me to, in all my ways. Like, worship is, that'll come up in another preach. Worship is what we say and sing and do and what happens in the church. It's part of what we do. But it's also in all our ways, we acknowledge him. In all our ways, we make much of him. We revere him. We are filled with awe of who God is. There's an awfulness about God. And we can get all friendly and happy and relational, and we must, because he's our Father and he's a good, good Father. And if you are at camp, you heard those messages, and we need to remind ourselves again and again of the Father heart of God. And it's from that place that Paul says, now thank him and offer acceptable worship out of a place of gratitude for who God is. And I wanted to read this couple of words of a song. It spoke to me. I hope I can read it nicely. If I could sing like you, Herman and Michael. It's great to see all the new musicians on the platform today, man. Man, I love it. You don't think I do, but I love this church. We're sitting in the Hillsong Conference 3 weeks ago. Or maybe it's a little more, because it was close to the beginning of July when we got there. I didn't want to be at the conference. I kept telling my wife, I didn't come on a holiday to Australia to go to church every day, all day, for a week. I'm just being real honest with you this morning. And our beautiful daughter-in-law and my son, they are part of that, and it could go a long story. They got us passes, they got us the, because it's $360 a person to register for the week. So it's no joke. So Matthew and Laurie and I, and they got us, whatever it is, registered for the conference. And so we're going. They're loving it. Kyle was at work, so he could only come in the evening, but we're with Holly and our beautiful little granddaughter, and we're going to conference. And it's amazing. And, you know, I could talk all morning about it. But I'm sitting there on the third day or whatever it is with a bad attitude. And I was really enjoying it. But I'm like, whew. And this young guy starts to sing this song that I can only read the words. If I could sing it, I would sing it to you. Oh, man. And Kyle's telling me, yeah, I know this young guy. I forget his name. He told me his name. It's on, what? Alan? Alec. Who wrote this? The Irish guy who wrote this song? Okay. I trust you. Is that true? You're quite confident, Doug. I thought maybe you knew the song. And the song is called So Would I. But what made it personal is Kyle's telling me he's a young Irish guy. He's kind of a scat cat. That's my son's kind of language. He couldn't get work, so Kyle helped him to get a job with him, doing landscaping and working in a yard. But he writes this song. So he's telling me about this young guy, and then he's Irish. And he starts to sing this song. And I'm sitting in the crowd in the dark, 30,000 people, and he starts to sing. Whew. It was like God just, you know, just lightning bolts. And I'm sitting there. Let me read the words. I hope I can read them. But I wanted you to understand where I'm coming from. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. Every burning star, a signal fire of your grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. And he's singing this Irish sweet voice of this scat cat. And I'm sitting there with 30,000 people, and the music starts. I wished we could do it. But it's not the music, and it's the Spirit of God. And I said, so will I. And then the second verse. He says, I'm skipping stuff, but he says, on a hill you created, Calvary, the light of the world abandoned to die, in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. And I pray, I hope you can hear a 40-piece band and bass that goes through your chest. And I'm like, so will I. If you left the grave, so will I. And then it comes to the ending. And he says, I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Sitting in a crowd of 30,000, I can see your heart in 8 billion ways. 8 billion people. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. So will I. If the sum of our prayers still falls shy, we will sing it again 100 billion times. And it was like that song is the message of our life. So will I. I will worship. I will live my life. I will surrender my life. I will see the 8 billion amazing people that God created. I will remember that Jesus died on a cross one day and rose. So will I. That's the message. That's the life of God. So when I talk about our lives must reflect Him, this is not some heavy religious put it on you. Come on, guy. Paul says, I warned you. I'm warning you. But this is God of create. You created everything. the vapor of your breath, 100 billion galaxies, the planets come to life. Every star is just, you know, I love the words. I'm watching this skinny kid from Ireland sing this song. And I'm just like, so will I. And if I could sing it, I'd sing it this morning. So will I, 100 billion times. And if we've failed 100 billion times, 100 billion failures fall away. And if our worship is falls short, we'll get up and we'll sing it 100 billion times more. That's the message. That's what God is challenging us to do. And it's not a heavy, it's from, we've received this unshakable kingdom, therefore with grateful hearts, let us offer an acceptable worship to God, full of awe and reverence. He is a consuming fire. He is a fire. He is God. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look at one another. Look at what God has done. Look at yourself, what God has forgiven you, what He's delivering you from, what He's calling you into. If the stars are going to worship, I am going to worship. If we could see Jesus on the cross today, if we would be with Him at the Lamb's, you know, the wedding feast of the Lamb today, I'm telling you, we would be worshiping. And I'm asking, I'm preaching to you, I'm saying like Paul, I'm warning you, I'm challenging you. Let's live a life that shows that, that reflects that. In our devotions this morning, you heard Jordan's in the prayer meeting. Ours was, we read in Psalms, we're listening, talking about it. And I wish to remember the number of it. But it's David, and he says, he's crying out, God, bless me, bless me. But the whole point of his crying out, bless me, is so that he could show forth God's glory to the ends of the earth. That's the heart of God. We come to church because it's good for us. We come to church because God is good. We come together because we encourage one another. Church is a good place. Church is a fun place. Church is a place where families connect and kids eat stuff and party. Church is where you make friends and you find spouses and you pray for one another and you encourage one another and you bless one another. That's what church is. And we encourage each other. Now let's just live this life that God's called us to. Let's worship God. Let's give Him our best. And that, you know, it's not only money. It is money. It's not only time. It is time. It is not, it's in all our ways, acknowledge Him. Will you pray with me this morning? What is it that God's putting His finger on and challenging you with in regards to acceptable worship? Father, I pray this morning that You would speak to each one of us. I pray, God, as You spoke to me sitting in Australia, and my heart to cry, so will I. So will I. If 100 billion galaxies will worship, so will I. Lord, I pray this morning that You would speak to us, and our response back to You will be, so will I. Here am I. Use my life. Have my life. I give You the best of my life. And I thank You, God, when You ask for that, when You ask for a sacrifice, it's even for our good. Those things that seem like a cost are for our good. Those things which we think we've given up, we look back and we say, oh, thank You, God, You had so much more for us. And I pray this morning that when it regards to how we live our life, we would live it pleasing to You. It would be a life of worship to You, a life of joy, a life of thankfulness and gratitude, a life of reverence, a life of awe. We would just not take lightly the things of God. We would not just touch the things of God without thought. We would not put our hand to Your bride, Your church. We would not put our hand to anything that belongs to You. And God, I pray that our worship would be acceptable. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.